Please be seated. Life is an ever-changing journey. It includes ups and downs. It includes turns left and right. Sometimes life is like walking an easy path through an expanse of gently rolling hills. The destination is visible most of the time. There is choice of route and time to plan. Dips and turns are easily navigated. At other times, life is more like riding a roller coaster. The route is non-negotiable and reveals itself only as it progresses. The elevation changes are like mountains, and the turns are like razors. Everything happens at breakneck speed. Can you tell that I don't like roller coasters? One of the wonders of being a priest is being invited to accompany others on their life journeys. Those journeys are at times meandering and at times hurtling. To my grateful amazement, I sometimes find myself a witness to another person's important life event. Shifting from person to person, from event to event, it feels a bit like being on my own roller coaster. It's certainly not as extreme as the roller coaster occupied by the person I'm with, but it's a roller coaster just the same. It can be difficult or unsettling, and I wouldn't have it any other way. I hope you too sometimes feel like you're on an accompanying roller coaster. In the priesthood of all believers, you too are touched by the life experiences of others. You might say that the members of this community of faith are sometimes necessarily on a roller coaster ride together. I feel a little like we're on one right now. The last two Sundays, our regular services of Holy Communion included the baptisms of Josephine and Connor, during which we celebrated their initiations into the body of Christ. Next Sunday, our regular service of Holy Eucharist will include the burial service for Marjorie Robison, during which we will celebrate her temporal life on earth and her eternal life in the risen Christ. Between those celebratory Sundays lies today. For many of us, the fact of Marge's death has been hard to absorb. On Friday night, Jackie and I were discussing the week past. We agreed then about something that remains true. It feels as if Marge died years ago. At the same time, it feels as if she hasn't died at all. It feels as if time is meaningless. It is unsettling. But today I suggest we all try to go with that. Let's try to take ourselves off both the winding path and the roller coaster. Let's try to linger out of time and also out of place. Whether you realize it or not, that lingering out of time and place is actually a goal of every liturgy. Until recently, to symbolically remind myself of that intent, I removed my watch before every Sunday service. I learned that from one of my liturgy professors. Episcopalians, also known as the frozen chosen, aren't spontaneously emotive like evangelicals. Nonetheless, the structure and beauty of our own worship tradition is intended to untether us. The hope is that, untethered from time and place, we are able to experience the transcendent, the holy, the divine. The hope is that we experience God. On Sunday mornings, the clearest expression of that intent is located at the beginning of the rite of Holy Eucharist, during the dialogue called the Sursum Corda. Sursum Corda is Latin for "lift up your hearts." The only time that phrase is used is at the beginning of Holy Eucharist. Through it, each one of us is invited to consciously approach what might loftily be called the throne of God. When we do so, as a gathered body, we narrow the gap between heaven and earth. Of course, God is always reaching out to us, and God is always inviting us to reach back. That reaching is perhaps most visible to us during springtime, which in the Northern Hemisphere fittingly corresponds to our celebration of Christ's resurrection. God's beauty is all around us right now. All we have to do is notice. Last week, I was the day school chapel officiant while Chaplain Eric was on the sixth grade field trip to Washington, D.C. For three mornings, I preached about prayer. Each day, I emphasized one of the three boxes into which author Anne Lamott distills all our prayer. Those three boxes are help, thanks, and wow. On Thursday, Wow Day, I brought in visual aids. Cherry tree blossoms, the rock that sits on the altar, and a photo of the Orion Nebula taken by the Hubble Space Telescope and also in that book that sits on the altar. I'm going to bring those around. I hadn't decided until this very moment that I was going to or not. I'm at least going to show it to some of the kids. Itself is a prayer of praise, perhaps with some thanksgiving thrown in. Wow is an articulation of our reaching back to God, and at the same time it implicitly recognizing God's reaching out to us. That morning in chapel, and I think maybe just a little bit right now, the gap between heaven and earth seemed particularly narrow. You've probably heard of the idea in Celtic spirituality of thin places or thin spaces. They're generally found in nature, such as the holy trees and holy wells found in Ireland. I've been fortunate to travel and live in many parts of the United States, and I've experienced thin places all over. Among the giant trees in western Washington state, in the canyons of southern Utah, among the exhibits in the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. On our trip to Ireland, my family visited St. Bridget's Well. It was powerful partly because of the leavings of the many who had visited there before. They were visible reminders that our exhalations mingled with those of many centuries worth of pilgrims like us. Another Christian term for thin spaces is liminal spaces. The word liminal comes from the Latin word limen, which means threshold. The limen is the threshold between one space and another. This term emphasizes the idea that liminal spaces are locations of transition. The location is not necessarily a physical place. It is more generally a state of being. To be in a liminal space is to be betwixt and between, not knowing what will come next, but understanding that something powerful and important is underway. That term might apply to someone preparing for baptism or marriage or even death. Many Christians, since the earliest times, have believed that the souls of the dying enter the liminal space between heaven and earth, and that they stay there for a time after physical death. That brings us back to this Sunday in this place. Untethered from time and place, maybe this becomes no particular Sunday in no particular place. Or maybe it becomes every Sunday in every place. Now I'm just speculating. Still, I like to think that this church is a thin place, at least at times. I like to think that the presence and prayers of the people here contribute to making that so. I like to think that we can cultivate a narrowing of the gap between heaven and earth through our intent to make it so, with God's grace, and by our continuing practice of the Christian faith. I like to think that together we hear the voice of our shepherd and approach the threshold to the holy, and that God meets us there, which is right here. Our experience of liminality here or elsewhere lends us peace and confidence that we take with us to other spaces in our lives. As we continue to grow in peace and confidence, we are better equipped for all the paths that lie ahead, be they gentle or harsh. As we continue to grow in peace and confidence, we are able to experience God in the most unexpected places. Actually, of course, God is always with us. Jesus came that we might have life and have it abundantly. The Lord is our shepherd, the one who accompanies us as we walk rolling hills and ride roller coasters, as we occupy spaces thick or thin, whether or not we even notice. I think it's a kind of spiral. The Lord accompanies each of us, giving us the will and the courage to accompany one another. As we accompany one another, we perceive that the Lord is with us. This pattern repeats on, and we draw closer to the center that is our beginning and our end. Maybe that is how our shepherd leads us on the way to abundant life. Hallelujah.